as for God, and they all rose as well as saw for God. The revolution, the Islamic revolution, or any revolution, if it doesn't have a specific aim and doesn't have a specific goal, it will fail. And the more higher, the more divine the purpose is, the higher rate of success to this revolution. And there is no higher purpose for any revolution than to want Islam and an Islamic Republic. What made the Islamic Republic in Iran so successful and so powerful and so strong that in fact it has changed the course of history is the fact that it was done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the people came together and they wanted Islam, meaning they wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
People want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them all. Allah, even in the Quran, he says, "Inna Allah yudafu'u 'an alladhina amanu." Allah defends and fights for those who believe. If you want to fight for Allah, Allah will surely fight for you. If you want to do things for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely will do things for you. So when you have a nation and the whole nation was crying, "We want Islam and an Islamic revolution or Islamic republic," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to come to their help because he promised, "You want me, I'll come to you." And this is the strength of the Islamic republic. This is the strength of the Islamic revolution. It's not because of Imam Khomeini himself or because of intellectuals or westernized thinkers. No, in fact, it was the purpose that this revolution started for. It started for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People rose for Islam. People wanted the rules of Islam to apply. People wanted justice through the perspective of Islam, not the perspective of a person himself and his desires and his lust over wealth and power. Rather, they wanted to live free. They wanted to live dignified under an Islamic rule, which Imam al-Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu has brought forward. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together and a fear in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different than the fur as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they didn't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra de Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiter is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A Morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the First of Its Kind Museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The Institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear believers, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, wherever you are, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to pose and answer some questions and doubts that comes towards to us on Islamic beliefs. The question that we are going to talk about today is about Salat or prayer. For that, we have invited a respected scholar from Qom Samir Schools, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, to help us with the answers to the questions that we pose here. Before I pose the question, I'd like to welcome Sheikh Murtada to the show and say salam to him. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure for us, Sheikh, to have you here, and many thanks for accepting the invitation. The question, Sheikh, says that it's true that there is a resurrection day, and we have no doubt on that, supposedly, that we have no doubt on that. But the question that comes to the minds of the thinkers is that what was the necessity of such a day for the resurrection in the day of judgment, for Qiyamah? Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had no idea of what his creatures are going to do in the scene of the earth? If he knew and knows, so what was the necessity of such a day? And if he didn't know, isn't it going against the knowledge of God and Allah's all awareness? So if you shed some light on that, on the philosophy of the Day of Judgment or the Resurrection Day, would be great.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the conclusion of this question, if you are going to, go by the claim of this question and act upon the knowledge of God, it requires that we are born mm-hmm. in the hellfire or in paradise, without us being in need of living in this world, because Allah knows that what we are going to do in this world mm-hmm. and the fate of all the people. So God didn't need to, put us in this world
yeah.
and to take our actions into account on the Day of Judgment. No, every person is born either in hell or in the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But now the point is that imagine if that was the case. Wouldn't it be the case that we would reject to God that why did you take us to hell or heaven if we were in the world? Those people in hell would claim that we would do good actions. So why you didn't test us? And those people in heaven, they might claim that we may, because there are different levels in heaven as well, they may claim that we could be much better than this, we could be in higher levels of paradise. But mm-hmm. To explain it more, let me give you one example. We know that in every class, the teacher knows that which a student is clever and he or she is doing the homeworks and they are active in the class, and which one of them are lazy. So mm-hmm. For the teacher, it's very clear that which ones will fail the final exam and which ones will pass the exam.
Very true.
So is it true to, remove the exams from the whole course of the universities and the schools, and only act upon the knowledge of the teacher and a professor. No, all the students will, object and say that, the ones who failed, they may say that you didn't test us. We could have been able to pass the exam. Mm-hmm. So the teacher, the professor, cannot act upon his knowledge, because if he does that, then the proof is not complete. The hujjah is not complete for the students. They do not come to see that whether during the test they are able to pass or fail the exam.
Very true.
So when we have an exam, the students themselves, they come to know that whether they are able to pass the exam or fail the exam. So it's for the students to know their capacity, their knowledge, and the results of their efforts. We can mention the same about the philosophy of creating this world and then the Day of Judgment. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are going to do. Of course, it's not against our free will. If I have time, I may explain that as well. But the fact that we are created in this world, and then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to us the realities of all our actions, and he would take into account all our actions. It is for the people to come to this conclusion that whether they were successful in this world, they passed divine exam in this world, or they failed in the divine exam in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in one of the verses in the Noble Book of Quran that we are not going to punish any nation before sending a prophet. What is the philosophy? Mm-hmm. Because if we do not see a prophet, completing the proof. If Allah does not send a prophet, then people may claim that had you sent a prophet, we would have followed him. Mm-hmm. But God sends a prophet, so the proof is complete, and then it's upon the people whether they are going to follow that prophet or reject him.
Very true.
So the whole philosophy, or at least one of the philosophies for creating this world and then to have the hereafter in which we see the results of our actions, is for the proof to be complete for the people.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And moreover, within an academic year, there are some students who were clever or smart, but they failed the exam because they actually got weakened. And there are some even weak students that within the course, they change brilliantly and they finally get out successfully.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So at the end of the day, it's very important for people to go through the test. And for us human beings to go through the test, it requires God to create us in this world. Mm-hmm. We, live for a couple of years or decades, and then we'll see that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes us on the Day of Judgment, we agree with Him that we deserve it. And if we receive some reward, we know that this is the result of our actions. Now, the second part of the question is that this is a famous question that I think we have answered that in some of the previous episodes, whether the knowledge of God is against the free will of human beings or not. Allah knows that what we are going to do, whether good action or bad action, so it means that we are forced to do that. I think the example of teacher and students is a good example. The knowledge of the teacher that you are lazy or you are clever, and it's very likely for you to pass the exam or for you to fail the exam, his knowledge doesn't change the reality. This is the result of your efforts during the semester.
It might be asked that why do you compare a teacher to God's knowledge? Because God has a comprehensive knowledge, even more exact and detailed in comparison to that of teacher. In case of teacher, the teacher might expect a person to survive the test, to pass the test at the end of the day, but for God it is completely different.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The example of teacher, although there are differences between the knowledge of the teacher and the knowledge of God, as you rightly mentioned, but the example of the teacher is good in saying that the knowledge of the teacher doesn't change the reality. I mean, exactly. His knowledge does not change the fate of the lazy.
This student. Is the behavior of the student himself.
Exactly. The knowledge does not force the people. But to be more precise regarding the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the point is that free will is a part of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I will do this action with my free will on such a day and in such a place. So the knowledge, my free will is a part of divine knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know anything. Today, I'm going to do this action based on my free will. And now imagine the knowledge of God. God knows that based on my free will, no one is going to force me. Based on my free will, I'm going to do this action in this day and, I mean, time and place. So when we're talking about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forcing the people, because free will is one of the parts and particles of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When God knows that I'm going to do this action, my free will is one part of that action. The other point that we may refer to is that the Day of Judgment is not only about, punishment and reward. It's the day of God revealing the realities. On the Day of Judgment, all the people will come to know about all the realities of this world. In this world, we are not able, or for most of the people, they are not able to find the realities of the world and the realities of their actions. The Day of Judgment is a good opportunity, according to the Noble Book of Quran, يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, all the hidden issues will be revealed and exposed to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another philosophy for the Day of Judgment. Another philosophy for the Day of Judgment is for the people to come to know about the greatness of the prophets and the imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And this is one of the philosophies of Shafa'ah, or intercession on the Day of Judgment. It is for the people to come to know that this is the real position and status of the people like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamun alayha, and all the imams of the Ahlul Bayt. So it's another message of the Day of Judgment for people who were ignorant about this fact in this world.
Many thanks, Sheikh Murtada, for your scholarly answers to the question that we have asked in this show. Dear listeners, I'd like to also thank you for staying tuned and listening to Arab English Radio, and the program titled as Q&A in Islamic Beliefs, where we discuss different doubts and misconceptions that comes on Islamic beliefs. I hope you enjoy the show and you will join us again in our upcoming session, where we shall discuss new doubts and misconceptions. Till then, I'll live in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a question which is very pertinent and very important. And that question is regarding the reprehensibility of certain professions. This question stems from a tradition which has been related and narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A certain man comes to the Prophet and asks the Prophet which profession he should push his son towards, which profession he should encourage his son to pursue. The Prophet says that there are five professions which a person should not pursue. Those five professions are the profession of a butcher, the profession of a person who makes and sells the burial shrouds which a dead person is to be buried in, the profession of a goldsmith, the profession of a person who sells wheat, and the profession of a slave trader or a person who sells slaves. A question might arise, and it might be objected by saying that these professions, at least four of them, especially today, are necessary for every society, and so why would they be prohibited in Islam? Or to word it in other words, even if we say that this tradition does not indicate the a prohibition of these professions, if not anything, it indicates there the fact that they are makruh, or they have kirahat, and they're frowned upon in Islam. That's why we know that these professions, if somebody performs these professions with the intention of being service to, you know, his fellow man and society, there's nothing wrong with it, and it should be in fact recommended. So why would the Prophet discourage this person from pushing and encouraging his son to pursue these professions? Now, we can analyze this question in a number of different ways. One of the answers that we can give to this question is that when we examine the context in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this statement, we see that the person who came to the Prophet asked the Prophet, which profession should I pursue, or which profession should I push and encourage my son to pursue? This indicates that this person's son had a choice between different professions. He could have chosen a number of different professions. In fact, the hadith mentions the fact that the person says to the Prophet that my son he knows how to read and write, he's learned, he has learned some things, and he wants to choose a profession. Which profession should he choose? Right. So in this context of this person's situation, we see that this person's son had the choice of choosing any profession he wanted, the Prophet said that, well, if your son has the ability to do anything that he wants, don't push him towards these professions, right? So in this situation where this person has the freedom of choice to pursue any profession he wants, these certain professions shouldn't be pursued. This person is, he knows how to read and write, he's learned, he can pursue any profession that he wants, a better profession that is, in fact, more valuable to society than these. But this doesn't mean that in another context, when there's a person, you know, who's not learned, who doesn't know how to read and write, or when the person doesn't have a choice and there's no choice but for him to pursue a certain profession, then he cannot take up these professions mentioned in this tradition. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the reprehensibility of certain professions in the eyes of Islam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Aga, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of drawing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 26, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, we congratulate you and, of course, our Christian listeners on the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, the Messiah, peace upon him, and on the occasion of Christmas. Merry Christmas to our Christian listeners. We wish all people around the world, especially our listeners around the world, peace, love, joy, health, and good tidings on this Christmas and the New Year 2022. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program of course, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card, of course, in the time of pandemic. So here,
I sent my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, Bruce Lee from Australia, and Bill McDavid from the U.S. And, of course, we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters. Most of these emails and letters are focused on the Christmas and the New Year 2022. First of all, thank you for sending us these emails, and let me read the names of those of our listeners who have sent us these emails. First of all, we have an email from Igor Belevich from Belarus, who has recently joined us. Konstantin Barsenko from Russia has sent us an email. Toshio Shibata, one of our old and regular listeners from Japan, has sent us an email. From India, we have an email from P.S. Sukar. And the last but not the least is an email from Australia from Martin Sainer, one of our old and regular listeners. So, stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these kind emails. Welcome back. Before this program was started, I was just checking these emails, and I found that most of them are focused on Christmas, congratulation messages, and sharing the experiences in Christmas. And those experiences were so sweet, and it made my day. As I said, we have received an email from Belarus from Igor Belevich. Let's see what he says. I live in a city called Ivatsevichy, Belarus. Yes, Ivatsevichy. I remember my childhood and how I would celebrate New Year and Christmas together with my parents and my younger sister when I was a schoolboy. That is 1992-21. In our four-room apartment in Ivatsevichy. Also, 2006 Christmas was a very good year because an Australian SW radio station sent me a radio receiver as a gift and made my day. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Igor Belevich from Belarus, in this cold day, of course, for Northern Hemisphere residents. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Yes, you live in Ivatsevichy, Belarus, and your childhood memories was great. Thank you for sharing your experiences for the Christmas, and it was great. Yes, always everyone's childhood memories are the greater and best part of people's memories, and so it was great as you described it. So you were gifted a radio receiver from an Australian SW radio station as a gift. Yes, it was great. Let me tell you one thing. IRB English Radio used to send its Christian listeners gifts, so many gifts, postcards, the souvenirs. But in the time of pandemic, unfortunately, we can't do that. Of course, after this disease is controlled around the world, then we will send all our dear listeners, especially our Christian friends who didn't receive the souvenirs of IRB English Radio in the time of pandemic, many gifts. And of course, those beautiful postcards of Iranian monuments to all our listeners around the world. But at the time, we will send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Igor Belevich, many thanks for sending us this email. Merry Christmas to you. We wish you all the best in the new year 2022. And from Russia, we have an email from Konstantin Barsenkov. Konstantin says, "Dear friends, from the bottom of my heart, I wish you, your loved ones, and all your friends a happy new year, health, peace, and success in 2022. I would be very appreciated for any confirmation, including an EQSL card of my report, and thanks in advance." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, and I do express my appreciations to you for sending us, and of course, our dear listeners around the world, this congratulatory message on Christmas and 2022. Of course, in Iran, we Iranians celebrate our new year at the beginning of spring. We call it Nowruz, and we have broadcast many programs on that. Anyway, we accept your congratulation message, and we wish you all the best in life. We wish you peace, love, joy, good tidings in 2022, and a very happy new year and very happy Christmas. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, thank you very much for sending us this email. After a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan, from Toshio Shibata, one of our regular listeners. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with another email, with another congratulatory message and Christmas experience from this time from Toshio Shibata from Japan, who says, "In Japan, except for Christians who account for less than 1% of the population, we do not regard Christmas as a religious event. Even in families of Buddhist temples, they have Christmas parties for children. For Japanese children, Christmas is not one night, meaning December 24th. And it is a family event. We may have a small Christmas tree in the room, have a special dinner with chicken, not turkey, and a Christmas cake. The next morning, children find presents from their parents. It is a common question to grown-ups, until what age you believed in Santa Claus? We had much more fun in New Year holidays, as my mother had 5 brothers and sisters. I had about 10 cousins of similar ages. Once a year, we got together in grandparents' home and spent holidays. Train and flight reservations for New Year 2022 are much more crowded. I hope we will be able to be back to normal life soon. I wish you the same." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Toshio Shibata, one of our old and regular listeners from Japan. I send you my gratitudes for sending us this email, and of course, thank you for sharing your Christmas experiences to us in IRIB English Radio and our great listeners around the world. So in Japan, you celebrate Christmas, and it's not just for Christians, it's for all the Japanese. Okay, it was great what you said. You have a special dinner with chicken, and you have a Christmas cake, you have Christmas tree, and that's great. So we wish you all the best in the new year 2022 and Christmas time. And thank you very much for telling us these informations about your Christmas experiences. We wish you all the best. We wish you health, peace, joy, love, and good tidings. Write to us soon, Toshio Shibata, and don't forget to tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And from India, we have a message, a congratulatory message from P.S. Sakar. Yes, P.S. Sakar from India has sent us a message. He says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I wish all the listeners across the world for New Year to 2022. I hope the New Year will bring everyone health, prosperity, and hope for a better world. Kindly arrange to issue a QSL card." Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, P.S. Sakar from India. Thank you very much for sending us this message, this congratulatory message. We also wish you health, prosperity, and hope in the new year 2022. My colleagues soon will send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Australia, from Martin Steiner. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Martin Steiner from Australia has sent us an email. He says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I would like to express my best wishes to you and the whole team of IRIB English Radio. My childhood memories of Christmas are playing in the snow without ever feeling cold, as we had so much energy as kids. Nowadays, I live in Australia and Christmas is now in the summertime. It just does not feel right. Nevertheless, we have a great time meeting all the family for a nice dinner with lots of laughter. Following the Christmas celebrations, we spend time on our beautiful beaches, go for a swim, or do fishing. Best wishes to you all." Salam and warm greetings to you, Martin Steiner from Australia. Yes, it's the environment and the atmosphere of Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere is so much different with the atmosphere of Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere. So Australians are celebrating Christmas and the New Year in the sunshine. Yes, it's different. So you live in Australia and the Christmas is in the summertime and there is no snow and you have a nice dinner with lots of laughter. You go to beautiful beaches because it's the summertime. You go for a swim or do fishing, and that's so much different with what's happening in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's a kind of it. Have fun. We wish you all the best. Merry Christmas, Martin Steiner from Australia. And we wish you and all our listeners around the world, especially our Christian friends and listeners, a very happy 2022. New Year and Christmas and all the good things in the world, especially health in the time of pandemic. And stay with us, please. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate our Christian listeners around the world, the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, and the Christmas occasion. So Merry Christmas to our Christian listeners. We wish you and all people around the world peace, love, joy, health, and good tidings on Christmas and the New Year 2022. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767.